and welcome to the Hour of Hope. I'm your host, Dr. Matthew Broman. I'm the pastor of Safe Harbor Church in Accutane, Alaska, and I'm so glad you're with me on this beautiful day. This is the Hour of Hope, and we focus on the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Did you know, if not for him hanging on that old rugged cross, shedding his blood, and being pierced for our sins, we would have no hope. But because that is true and he rose from the dead, we have hope. His blood is so important. Let me read you a verse. 1 Peter 1:18-19. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. Isn't it awesome that we can be redeemed by the blood of Jesus? Well, the theme of everything today, the music, everything is going to be the blood of Jesus. Let's begin with a wonderful song called Oh, the Blood.
For me, what a sin.
That was by the group called Selah, S-E-L-A-H, and it just proclaims the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood, the precious blood of Jesus. That's why John called Jesus the Lamb of God, because he would be the sacrifice for all of our sins. We're getting ready to celebrate the Christmas season, and get ready. I'm just kind of setting it up. The next 3 or 4 Sundays, it's all going to be about Christmas. If you like Christmas music, get excited about the Hour of Hope, because tune in here every Sunday morning and you are going to hear wonderful Christmas music. But on today's program, we are focused on the blood of Christ. That baby born in Bethlehem, let me read this to you in Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophets, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted as God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. That's Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. And that baby born in Bethlehem would grow up, live on this earth, walk, and then die on the cross, physically rise from the dead, so we can have hope in his name. Let's listen to more wonderful music about the blood. Cece Winans, a lot of people know her in the gospel industry. She is going to sing about the blood that will never lose its power. Are you depending on Jesus's blood, or are you looking to something else? Let's depend on the blood that will never lose its power. Oh, that blood.
The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary. The blood that gives me strength from day to day. To the highest mountain. me strength from day, day to day. It will never lose. For the rest of my life, it will never lose.
In Isaiah 53, Isaiah's prophesying about who we understand to be Jesus. This is several hundred years before Jesus lived. In Isaiah 53, now the prophecies were given by men to tell about what's going to happen. Isaiah chapter 53, here's 53. I'm going to start at the beginning. And realize we know this was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53, chapter 53. Who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground, He has no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearers is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge, shall by righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear the iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. There's a lot I could talk about there, but I just wanted to highlight one thing. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And then before that, the verse says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. We all have sinned. And Jesus took our sin upon him. We couldn't get to God. Our sin corrupts us, and it corrupted us and separates us from God. Oh, that is another good verse. Let me share. I was just thinking of one. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2. But your iniquities, that's another word for sin, sins have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So sin separates us from God. The blood of Jesus is the only thing that covers our sin, so we can be with God.
I was a wretch. I remember who I was. I was lost. I was blind. I was running out of time. Sin separated, the breach was far too wide. But from the far side of the chasm, you had me in your sight. And you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross, you paid the debt I owed. Broke my chains, freed my soul. And for the first time I had hope.
Thank you, Jesus, for the blood.
That's a cool song, how they say, thank you, Jesus, for the blood. And it's the choir version. So powerful. So powerful. Well, let me ask you this. So some of you are like, why are you spending so much time on the blood? If you stand before Jesus and he says, God, and he says, why shall I let you into heaven? Well, Jesus, God, what would you say? He said, what's the one thing you can do to say I should be in heaven? And you could just say, I plead the blood.
The song actually called, I Plead the Blood. It's a group of individuals who are in a studio and they're singing this song, I'll Plead the Blood. It's Chris Davenport, Brandon Lake, Cody Carnes. It's live in studio. And I just hope it is a blessing to you to think about. And you think about, oh, am I standing on the blood of Jesus, or am I standing on something else?
Formed. The thief and his plans will pass over when he sees the red on the door. I plead the blood. The enemy can't take my family, 'cause this home belongs to the Lord. So I'm not afraid to remind him he has no claim in this war. I plead the blood. I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood. I plead the blood of Jesus. 'Cause my future is glory to glory, and my freedom's been purchased in full. For all of the weight of his suffering, the Lamb will receive his reward. I plead the blood.
But the blood, nothing good. speaks a better word, speaks a better word. Yeah, your blood speaks a better word, a better word, better word over me. Your blood, your blood, your blood speaks a better word, a better word.
Bible study today, we're going to be doing John chapter 1. John chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verse number 43. This is a series of days. We started out, he starts out, now John the Baptist is Jesus' cousin. John, the one who wrote this, is Jesus' disciple. Just like you have more than one John, you might know. Well, they had more than one John and Matthew and even Jesus, the name of Jesus. There's only one Jesus, but it was a name that possibly other people could have been called. The point is, John the Baptist has had the book of the Gospel of John has been recording John the Baptist about him. And the first one, you have him described in John chapter 1. Verse 6, now this is Jesus' cousin. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. So he's a prophet. He's sent from God. There, the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. So he's there to testify about Jesus. So what? So everyone, all men might believe. Verse 119. The people come out and they interrogate him from the religious center. John was working out in the country. Well, they come out from the religious center. And they asked him, the leader sent somebody to ask him, who are you? And so on and so forth. And then it continues, 29, the next day, John sees Jesus coming into him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. So he tells them, hey, Jesus is the one I've been talking about. Well, the next day, so we've got, this is the third day from the stories we've been reading. Again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. And the book is basically pivots completely to Jesus. John will come back in chapter 3. But the point is, this is a pivot, and you get Jesus interacting. They spend a day with him. What we're going to look at is verse number 43 today. Verse number 43. Let me read you 43 through 51. It's the end of chapter 1. The day following, Jesus would come forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou was under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angel of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Let's pray. Lord, give us a good Bible study as we go through this text. Thank you for everyone listening. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So a couple things about this text I want you to think about. The theme of John is John 20, 31. John 20, 31. He says, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. He wants you to believe and experience the life that comes through Jesus Christ's name. This passage gives you insight into how to experience we want to look at that whole idea of life, because that's what he really wants. As I said, they want to you to believe and to have life. There's a couple things this text brings out. First of all, to have, to believe and really to experience that life, you've got to respond to Jesus' call. Notice something that happens here. Jesus had been out preaching, been interacting. The day before, he spent some time, or John's disciples, the Baptist, his cousin, spent some time with these people, and they followed him. Now look at verse 43. The day following, Jesus would go out forth into Galilee. Galilee is an area in Jerusalem, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, follow me. Follow me means give up your loyalties. Go along with me. Make the person your highest one. Whatever they say, whatever they teach, you're going to do it. It's not just the idea of going to school and learning some facts. No, this is follow me. Let my teaching, my life, become your life and your teaching. And the first thing you've got to remember is if you're going to believe and experience life, you've got to respond to the call of Jesus. Jesus, in Luke, it says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus is finding people to extend the call to follow him, and will we do that? So let's look at the results. Now, Philip was of Bethsaida. That's the northeast side of Galilee, the city of Andrew and Peter. They were other disciples. We met Peter in the previous chapter. We met Andrew in the previous verses. Look at verse 40. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. This is verse 41 now. He first findeth his own brother Simon, saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. So we met Andrew and Peter a day earlier. So 45 tells us, what does Philip do after Jesus comes to him and says, follow me? From the text, we can generally assume that Philip had had a lot of interaction with Jesus. He'd been observing Jesus. But now look at what happens. Verse 45, Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him. So this is a first-hand account of what did they think when they interacted with Jesus. We have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. The next thing you've got to do, you've got to respond to Jesus' call. You've got to find Jesus' identity. Notice what he says, we have found. But I want you to connect where they found Jesus' or how did they know who Jesus was? Well, the key is found here, did right. They went back to the scriptures. So you need to find, you need to respond to Jesus' call, find Jesus' identity revealed by scriptures. Notice the two scriptures he says, Moses in the law. What's he talking about? First of all, Moses' promised prophet. In Deuteronomy, Moses said there's a prophet coming. And there'll be one prophet, and you're supposed to listen to him. Well, that's what he's talking about there. And then he says the prophets. That's a lot of different people. But a few I summarize in my notes. Isaiah 53, Isaiah's suffering servant. I read that earlier. Micah 5:2, the everlasting ruler. Zechariah 9:7, our God. And Daniel 7:13, the son of man that has dominion. He says, we found that one, the one that God has promised, the one that God said would crush Satan's head. We found that one, Nathanael. See, he found, and he was convinced of it, Jesus' identity as revealed by Scripture. When he knew the Scripture of who the Messiah and King would be, when he interacted with Jesus, he's like, that's him. That's the one it's talking about. Well, we go on and we see some other things. In this, what is Nathanael's response? How does he respond? Does he say, I'm ready to believe? No. And Nathanael said to him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? A couple of things. At the end, he said, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. That reminds us of he's not just God, but he's man in the flesh. Nazareth was it was a military smaller town. It wasn't an important town. They didn't like the town. And then who's Joseph? And Nathanael, he's like, can anything come out of there? You can just see he's like, we all know places, wrong side of the tracks. He's like, well, can anything come out of there? The next thing we have to do is we have to realize our prejudice or perspective could be wrong. Like we need to not let that be a wall to us. He obviously didn't think it could be true. But Philip does something interesting. He says, come and see. Come and see the one. That's what Jesus had told him the day before. He had heard that from Jesus with Peter and Andrew. Well, he says, come and see. You can find it too. And then we get into a couple really, really neat things. So he takes him up on it. He comes. Even though he's doubting, can anything good come out of Nazareth? He's like, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him. So Jesus is sitting there. Nathanael walks. He says, and saith unto him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Guile means insincere, crafty to see. He's like, this is a guy who's legit. He's sincere. And it reminds us, if we're going to really experience life, it has to be with a sincerity, not a religiosity. And then Nathanael, he's shocked, because then he says, how do you know me? Whence thou knowest thou me? So Jesus identifies his heart. He says, you're serious. You're sincere. I can see it in your heart. Nathanael's like, how do you know me? And then Jesus says, before that Philip called thee, when thou was under the fig tree, he tells him something that Nathanael, how did Jesus know unless he's God? And he saw who he was. And isn't that neat how Jesus sees us before we come to him? But the next thing, his response, whatever that really meant, where he says, I saw thee before in that fig tree, maybe he was praying, he says a couple things. He expresses his faith. He's like, Rabbi, you're the Son of God. Remember, John had said that earlier. He called him the Son of God in John chapter 1, this chapter, verse 34. I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God, his nature, personality. He's like, you're God. You're God. And thou art the King of Israel. You're the Messiah. He's convinced of it. And then Jesus tells him a couple things. He says, you say you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree, but you're going to see greater things than thee. There's a song that says, greater things are yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in the city. It's Chris Tomlin. Well, he's like, you're going to see something greater. And then he quotes from Jacob's, they call it Jacob's ladder. He says, verily, verily. Now, verily, verily, he is in John several times, and it's there 25 times. This is the first time to highlight something. So when we see her verily, verily, or truly, truly, we have to zone in on it, or focus on it, because it's in the text, so we'll really notice it. I say unto you, say unto Nathanael, hereafter you shall see heaven open. Heaven open. Heaven is where God is. Heaven is where God reigns. He says, you're going to actually see heaven open. Now, heaven has already been open when he got baptized, but verse number 32, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove and abode on him. The idea that heaven has already been doing something, but he says, you're actually going to see it open. And the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. That comes from Daniel, but it's the idea of heaven's going to be open and I'm going to be the representative between heaven and the earth. The angels are going to come and go from me. And he's just saying, I'm the bridge. I'm the resurrection. I'm the life. I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John's going to bring this out more. Here's the point. If you want to, he's like, you're going to see something more amazing. You're actually going to see heaven open, meaning.
And you go through Jesus to get to that heaven. I hope you'll think about that and put your confidence only in Jesus Christ. It's been great to be with you. Pray with me if you'd like to right now. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Pray, Lord, help me. I want to know you. Save me. I believe only in Christ. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope that you're looking forward to the Christmas season. And just like last year, if you were listening, we are going to be having a great celebration of a lot of Christmas music and wonderful things coming up on our Hour of Hope. Don't you just love Christmas? I sure do. We're going to be decorating around the church next weekend and a lot of wonderful things planned for the holiday season. And part of it is being with you on this great radio program. I just enjoy being with you. I would love to hear from some of you. You can email me at Matthew, M-A-T-H-E-W, V as in Victor, R-O-M-A-N, @gmail.com. Let me tell you the names of the music again that you heard on this wonderful program. You can go to YouTube and download them if you want to listen to or watch them. Chris Davenport, Brandon Lake, Cody Carnes, Plead the Blood, Live in Studio, Selah, Oh the Blood of Jesus, at Official CC Winans, The Blood Will Never Lose Its Power, Andre Couch, Cover Live. Thank You, Jesus, for the Blood, choir version featuring Dinah Wright, Michael W. Smith, Agnes Dea, Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb is such a great song. That's what we're going to finish out with. I think it's awesome. And Agnes Dea is a wonderful song with a violin. It's just beautiful. So have a good week. I'll see you next time on the Hour of Hope. God bless and God bless. Bye.
worthy is the Lamb.